The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And good morning. I'm Gary Randall. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's Thursday, August the 11th, 2022, in the year of our Lord. On August 11, 1997, President Bill Clinton made the first use of the historic line item veto, rejected three items in a spending and tax bill, but the U.S. Supreme Court later struck down the veto as unconstitutional. Today, in 1860, the nation's first successful silver mill began operation near Virginia City, Nevada. Nevada, for those of you who live there or have lived there. Today, in 1934, the first federal prisoners arrived at Alcatraz Island. That's a former military prison sitting out in the bay in off San Francisco. You've probably seen it. I'm sure we all have. Today in 1965, rioting and looting that claimed 34 lives broke out in the predominantly black area of Los Angeles called Watts. Today in 1992, the Mall of America, the nation's largest shopping entertainment center, opened in Bloomington, Minnesota. I was reading an article the other day, and it was a business article, but they were talking about malls, these giant malls. This is the biggest of all here, this one, this Mall of America. But they were talking about these large malls, and they are in decline all over the place. People are scrambling, they're big retailers, trying to figure out what to do next. And they're looking at smaller malls that are all, rather than enclosed, you know, for weather purposes, cool in the summer, warm in the winter kind of a thing. They're looking at more outside malls where you're, you know, every store has its own entrance from the outside and so on. I found that interesting. It's kind of like it used to be 100 years ago when, you know, Norman Rockwell pictures or whatever. But apparently the move among big money in the malls and retail is kind of going that direction. I found that interesting. I don't know if you do or not, but I found it interesting. Anyway, today in 2016, the Obama administration said it had decided marijuana would remain on the list of most dangerous drugs, saying it would allow more research, however, into its medical uses. How things change. Today in 2020, Democrat Joe Biden named California Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate. He probably has lived to regret that by most accounts that I've read. And today in 2020, the newly elected district attorney in Portland, Oregon, said he would not prosecute people arrested on nonviolent misdemeanor charges during the mostly peaceful protests. 1 year ago today, the Taliban seized three more Afghan providential capitals and a local army headquarters that completed their blitz across the country's northeast. That was, of course, a result of President Biden's masterful withdrawal from Afghanistan. Masterful in quotes. I'm smiling. It was a disastrous withdrawal. The world was stunned by the ineptness of our leadership in America as they watched that unfold. Really sad. Another example of how the media is shaping the mind of America. Multiple corporate media broadcasters advanced an identical narrative the last about 24 hours following the FBI raid on former President Donald Trump's home, the Mar-a-Lago thing. What they're doing is they're attempting to use guilt by association to tarnish criticism of the raid. And they are trying to collect everybody that thinks it's a bad thing, that raid, into sort of a corral of people who are associated with or are deeply involved with the conspiracy theorists in our country, the far right, as they call them, the white supremacists, QAnon, and they name a whole list of things. That's what they're trying to do. And people are calling them out on it. It isn't just me. I noticed it, but others have as well. But there's numerous media outlets. Most of them are affiliated with ABC Network, but not all. But they've repeated almost verbatim, word for word, the same talking points. And one of the lines that I have noticed is reoccurring in the news. And if you live, you know, where you watch an ABC affiliate, you may have already heard these words. And if not, you will, because they're putting this out everywhere with a straight face and like very serious. And we're going to inform the public and so on. But here's the line that keeps reoccurring. They're talking about the raid on Trump's place. Quote, sources say there's been a strong reaction to the raid on extremists and QAnon-related forums. And they say that every time they report on something about the raid on Mar-a-Lago. In other words, if you have a strong reaction to it, you are immediately categorized with extremists, particularly the far-right extremists, the ones that they think are the worst of all. And they're doing this repeatedly. It's going on and on and on. It's amazing. We've heard from every pundit and politician regarding how they feel about the FBI raid on Trump's home, but what are the leaders in the evangelical community saying about it? I want to quote two or three of them. They've been pretty forceful. A number of them have. Conservative Christian leaders have denounced the Federal Bureau of Investigation's raid, of course. Maybe I shouldn't say, of course. There are some who have not. They said, see, we saw this coming. But the event is not about justice or getting to the truth. It's about politics. And people that I highly regard and respect are saying so. That would have a direct effect on churches and ministries like this one and some of the largest ministries in the world, in our country, worldwide ministries. It will have, this whole fallout of this thing is going to have repercussions that we have not yet seen. And I think we need to be prepared for it. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. The Old Testament prophet Nahum, he said, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. That is the word of the Lord. Most Americans say the FBI's raid on former President Trump's home has motivated them to vote in the midterm election. Well, that's a good thing. Everybody should vote. A poll was published this morning, and it's done by a Convention of States Action and Trafalgar Group survey. And I don't mention them a lot, but they take a lot of polls. They're not conservative, but they take a lot of polls, and I always look at them. I look at some others that are consistently, I believe, fair. These guys generally are, but the results of their survey that they released, well, actually last night, but it's out there this morning. They asked the question, just one simple question, and that's what caught my attention. Does the FBI raid on President Trump increase your motivation to vote in the 2022 election? Just a simple question. The overwhelming majority, 70.4%, said the FBI's raid on Trump's residence will increase their motivation to vote in the 2022 election. Not just the presidential coming up in 2 years, but this upcoming one in November, compared to 21.6% who said, no, it won't make any difference. Another 8.1% were unsure. They didn't know how to respond to what's going on at Trump's house. After over half of the Democrats, 55.2%, said it will increase their motivation to vote. But an even greater number of Republicans, 83.3% of Republicans, said it will motivate them to head to the polls in November. 7 in 10 independents, 71.7%, said it will motivate them to vote in November as well. Additionally, the survey found that 47.9% overall believe Trump's political enemies are behind the raid, compared to 39.7% who said they believe that the justice system is impartial and they are doing their job and all things are wonderful. Over three quarters of Republicans, 76.7%, said they believe Trump's political enemies are behind the raid. And top Republicans, of course, are calling for an investigation following the raid. Most people don't think there will be a viable investigation. Eric Trump reported this morning, he says his dad is now seeing record fundraising numbers. I believe personally behind all of this, it was a political motivation. There's no question in my mind about it. I don't think they expected the response that they're getting, though. They chose a time when they knew that Trump would be out of town, not at his residence there in Florida. He was in New York, actually, and headed somewhere else. I can't remember where he was going when they announced it. One of his lawyers was actually with him when he got the notice that what they were doing. They were in his house going through his stuff. And this woman lawyer that was traveling with he and several other people that worked for him, she said he was very calm about it. He said, wow, you know, he just said to be expected, I guess. She said he didn't like blow up or anything, but he didn't know about it. I mean, he knew nothing about it. But this whole thing was arranged so that he would be out of town. And what is emerging in the news today and last night is that someone inside Trump's staff there at his home was like a mole or something. I don't know if they were planted there by our supposedly justice authorities or what, but this person gave them all kinds of information. We'll see how that plays out, and we'll see if that person, you know, is ever outed, as they say. But that's kind of what launched this thing. This person convinced the authorities that they could lead them to what they're looking for. And what they're looking for is not justice. It's to destroy a man that they have come to hate. That is the bottom line. And if someone tries to tell you otherwise, and there are people that are, don't believe them, because that's what's happening in our world. Victor Davis Hanson is one of the most respected voices and personalities in America. He's a historian. He is an author of 22 books. He is one of the brightest intellectual conservatives that I know. And I pay a lot of attention to what he says. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. I've never heard him claim to be a Christian, but I don't know that he isn't. But he certainly is a conservative. I wouldn't be surprised if he has faith in Jesus Christ. But he is a brilliant man. And what he has to say is important, I believe, on any issue, but probably none more so than where we are right now. And boy, he's talking about it. He never overstates. I've never heard him overstate something. But I want to take a few minutes this morning to just share with you some comments he made on Fox News the other night on the Tucker Carlson show. But someone else was sitting in for Tucker. Will Cain, I think, was sitting in for Tucker. But man, he really unloaded. Victor Davis Hanson really unloaded. So I want to share a little bit of that with you today as well. I want to thank you for your support. We need it. I mentioned here a while back that we had some legal bills that had accumulated over time. I wasn't billed for it, but they were restructuring this ministry to help protect us from people that are using the name Faith and Freedom. We don't own that name, but because we tried to get it copyrighted to us in the context that we use it for our ministry, and we couldn't some years ago, back in 2004, I think, when I first started this, and we were just writing an article online every day, and it grew and grew and grew, and a lot of people read it, and now it's read in a number of nations now, I think 30, 40 nations every day or something. But anyway, so we had to attach my name to it because people were using that, and I mean, we were getting some of the credit for what they were doing, and some of the things they were doing was was wrong. So we had some legal battles once we identified that we were not other organizations, including the Christian Coalition, to be honest with you, Ralph Reed. And so he came up with that name and started using it, and he was running robocalls 24/7, and he was waking people up in the middle of the night saying, "Hi, this is Faith and Freedom." So some people started to take some action against us, and we don't do robocalls. I hate those things, and we've never done that. So anyway, all of that to say, we went through some legal things, and we got everything, got ourselves a little more protected from whatever. So anyway, I mentioned that the bill had come to about $8,300, and we needed your help. That was over and above our budget. It was a one-time expense. And some of you have responded. I want to thank you for that. We're within about $1,000 or $1,200, something like that, of having enough to cover that over our budget this month. So thank you so much from my heart. I try to be as open as we possibly can with all of you who support this ministry. And I just want you to know that if you're getting ready to write a check, go ahead and write it for that. But we're almost there. And I thank you. I'm certain there will be others that will respond and over and above our budget, our monthly budget. And I want to thank you for it. My heart is touched when I see your response to this ministry every day, every week, every month. And now it's been about 10 years, and it's amazing. I'm humbled. Thank you. Our address is Box 399, Bellevue, Washington, 98009. Box 399, Bellevue, 98009. Or you can go online to our website, Faith and Freedom. That's what you're helping to protect for us, to identify that we're not other organizations. One of the organizations that's adopted that name is a Muslim organization, of all things. I got a note here. It's been several years ago now. This person said, "I had no idea you were Muslim." Whew. But anyway, you can go online on our website, and there's a donate tab there. You can click that, and you can donate online. And more people are doing that now. Or you can send your check to P.O. Box 399, Bellevue, 98009. The event, as I said, is not about justice at Donald Trump's house. That's about much more than that. I think most of us know that. This poll that I just kind of surveyed a few moments ago with you, a recent poll within hours published, that tells you pretty much how the people in this country are responding to it. I don't think the left, that is, had their hands around the throat of our institutions now, unfortunately, I don't think they expected that. I think they chose the time when Trump was out of town. They knew he was going to be out of town then because someone inside of his staff told them. And they said they chose to do that so it wouldn't draw too much attention. Well, if their goal was not to draw attention, they miserably failed on that because the world is talking about it. I mentioned the president of El Salvador yesterday. He said, "What would the media be saying if I in El Salvador, which is not known for its pristine justice system, what would they be saying about me if I pulled something like that on one of my political enemies?" That's what the world is seeing and thinking. And most of us across America see it as that as well. But what are the Christian leaders? What are they? Christian leaders sometimes, well, among friends, they'll go, yeah, we did, you know. But publicly, they don't say much. But here's what some of the pastors, some of the leaders are saying that's going on. Jettison Franklin, he's a mega church pastor. He's a best-selling author. He posted a statement on his Instagram page on Tuesday. He said he's deeply disturbed over the raid of a former president's home. He went on to say, he said, if the goal of the current administration was to further divide the country, then that mission was accomplished with the weaponization of the DOJ and the FBI. He's the pastor, as I said, of Free Chapel in Georgia. I think they have like 10 or 20,000 members. It's a very large church. He was very involved in that group of pastors that met regularly with Trump as well. So, I mean, he is deeply committed to Trump's presidency when he was president. But the American people, he said, are not blind to political bias and injustice. They witness both with this unprecedented act of cowardice. Franklin, who was among that group of pastors, always prayed for the president. He was one of the guys you would see up front in the pictures. He would often lay his hand on the president's shoulder and pray for him. I can imagine he was praying not only for the nation and his leadership, but for his personal life and his personal walk and his relationship. All of the pastors that I knew anything about or knew that was in that group had a real commitment to want to be sure that they led Donald Trump to an understanding of how to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. It wasn't just political. I can assure you of that. He said, if you're like me, you cannot wait. Franklin said, Jettison Franklin. He said, if you're like me, you cannot wait for November to vote this failed and incompetent leadership out of office all across the nation. Well, no, I think I certainly agree with that. Tony Perkins is a Baptist pastor, and he's the president of the Washington, D.C.-based conservative Christian advocacy group, Family Research Council. I quote them often. Tony is a good guy. Tony wrote, who trusts the FBI to pursue justice? He said the agency has become so politicized that even if their actions were justified, half the nation still wouldn't trust them. I was particularly interested in what Franklin Graham wrote on social media, and a lot of people have read it already. He believes that the FBI and the DOJ risk losing credibility again. He mentioned the 1992 Ruby Ridge incident in which an FBI sniper shot and killed the wife of a man believed to have been tied to violent white supremacists, which sparked outrage. Let me just read, rather than character or summarize it, let me just read what Franklin Graham wrote. Here's what he said I think it was Facebook, but I saw it also on another social media. I can't remember which one. It was the same message, same post. Here's what he said, quote, 30 years ago, the FBI lost a lot of credibility over the unfortunate events that surrounded Ruby Ridge. I'm quoting Franklin Graham. Last night, as we watched the events that unfolded at Mar-a-Lago, I couldn't help but think that the FBI and the DOJ are losing credibility and the trust of the American people again. I have no idea what was in former President Trump's safe, but if the government thought there was something there that belonged to them, they certainly could have asked for it. What's happening is that politics has entered into the FBI and the DOJ and even the IRS. Franklin says, should we be concerned that there are plans to supercharge the IRS and hire 87,000 new agents? Let me just pause there. Do you realize what that will do to this bureau, adding 87,000 new agents? That's what would that be per state? I mean, there'll be different amounts in different states, but what's 50 into 1,740 more agents per state on average. 1,700 and more agents per state. I mean, it'll be proportioned to the population, of course, but I mean, that is just staggering, particularly if they have a bias against certain ideologies. And the person that says they don't needs to revisit Lois Lerner and the Tea Party. They do. And everybody knows it. Anyway, back to Graham, Franklin Graham. He said, and there are plans to supercharge the IRS and hire 87,000 new agents. He said, definitely you should be concerned. This is a step in weaponizing the IRS to act against people, organizations, and businesses who have a voice of dissent against government agendas. It's an issue of freedom. As Americans, we are losing our freedoms. Our nation has become so corrupt politically and morally, we need to repent and turn from our sins and call on the name of God, asking for his forgiveness. We need changes in leadership. We need men and women who respect biblical principles and values to run for office at the local, state, and national level. Join me, he says, in praying for this country. Ultimately, our hope is not in politicians or leaders, but in Almighty God. I would underscore that and say I sign on to that. My name is on that as well. Thank you, Franklin Graham. Victor Davis Hanson was on Fox the other night on the Tucker Carlson show, but Will Cain was hosting it, guest hosting it. But he asked Hanson, he said, why the FBI why would they raid Mar-a-Lago and why are they targeting Trump? And boy, that set off Victor Davis Hanson, who is a very retiring, I mean, he's very polite, he's a classy guy, and incredibly intellectual. He said, well, they're afraid in the short term, Victor Davis Hanson, in reference to the Democrats and the left, but in the long term, they believe they're morally superior to America, and therefore any means necessary or justifiable for their morally superior ends, their activities are justified because of the end result. He said, right now, we don't have the rule of law in Washington. He said, whether you're targeted or exempt depends on your ideology. He continued. He said, so in the past, when there was a dispute over the archives of presidential papers, he said President Obama just said, quote, I'm not going to turn them over to the Freedom of Information for the Freedom of Information. He spent $30 million resisting efforts to that. George W. Bush, Victor Davis Hanson says, had an executive order and said, you know what? I'm not going to do this. And that was adjudicated. Now, Davis Hanson says, now we go after a president and go to his house with 30 agents. I've heard it was 36, but whatever, it was a bunch. He said, in the past, when a high official was called for a congressional subpoena, Eric Holder just said, I'm not going and I'm not turning over any of this fast and furious. The idea that you would put him in shackles or you confront him with his family and grab his phone, he's talking about the guy from Pennsylvania, the senator, is just ridiculous. Hanson said, but this is what we're doing on an ideological basis. And when you start to do that, you don't have a democracy anymore, he said, and I don't think we do. Hanson went on to criticize the January 6th committee. He compared it to the authoritarian committees of the French Revolution headed up by Robespierre. Well, he's right. He said, to be on that committee, you have to have one criterion. You have to vote to impeach Donald Trump, and Hanson said. And if you're Republican, there was one other qualification. You had to be politically inert with no future, and it was deductive. He said, it started with the premise that we're going to destroy Trump, and we're going to bring in witnesses that will allow narratives for that end. He said, I never thought I would say this. The FBI is beyond redemption. He goes on to say why he believes that, but boy, that coming from him, that is a powerful statement. I'll see you tomorrow.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.